Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. All right. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Scanning coming to you live from North Carolina on this beautiful day, which is National Day of Prayer, number one, and not in American time, but in Israeli time. May 5th is Israel's Independence Day. And so there's a lot going on today, a lot we're going to talk about, a lot we're going to hopefully pray about as well. That's our whole focus here, praying for the Office of the President. And to build upon our journey of reordering our day and our study throughout the Bible of the reasons to get in line based upon biblical principles of what the Lord would, why he would have us walk in those times throughout the day and the night watches of taking back the night. We see here that today we want to expect the unexpected, is not get so focused on what we can understand that the Lord can do, but also being open to the loving kindness of God, and understanding that, you know, if we're calling, you know, for this justice and the corruption to be exposed, that we ourselves need to have a repentant, humble heart, deal with our issues, but also understand that the Lord is Lord, he's in control. And the ways that we can get out of the situation is not by the knowledge of men, but in the trust and the hope and the faith in that the Lord can use us to walk us through this scenario of getting out of the season that we have put ourselves in. And so we start off in Psalms 90, and we're going to go through this because it's a great example of, even as the title of it here in the New American Standard says, God's eternity and man's transitoriness, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And he says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the world, to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man back into dust and say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. You have swept away them away like a flood. They fall asleep in the morning. They are like grass which sprouts anew. And here we see the majesty of the Lord. As for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, which is speaking of how a day is like 1,000 years, is another way of putting that. And then it goes through of while they're in the wilderness, of when Moses is writing this, of the Lord's anger has consumed them, put them in the place because of their iniquities, how their secret are. And verse 8, it says, you have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. For all our days have declined in your fury. You have finished our years like a sigh. As for a day of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength 80 years, yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it will be gone, and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? So teach us the number of our days, that when we present to you a heart of wisdom, do not return, O Lord. How long will it be? And be sorry for your servants. So those calling for the rapture, just to get us out of here, that's Moses is saying, O Lord, please. In verse 14, oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad for our days. Being grateful for what the Lord has given us here. And then going on, in verse 16, let your work appear to your servants and your majesty to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands that we are called to do, to be ambassadors for Christ. And going through that is just basic understanding of, look, the Lord, he's in control. He's the creator of the universe. He's the creator of earth and the world. He gave birth from everlasting to everlasting. Days is 1,000 years. And if we're going to sit here and expect things to go the way that we can deem them, making them up in our minds without the knowledge of the Lord, without guidance from the Holy Spirit, then we are very misguided, I could say the least. And that goes for us. And that's why we want to, you know, check ourselves and check our emotions at the door, because we really have to make sure we're in line and in tune during the night watch, the watches, even throughout our day, which is what this is about, is reordering our day to get in line with the Lord so that we can have the expectancy of the Lord and not just the expectancy that man could conjure up. And so we want to pray today, is I'm trying to pull it up here, but the prayer point for this is to just be refreshed and expect miracles. Miracles that the Lord is, as we are ambassadors, as we are light in seasons and in the places that the Lord has put us, wherever it may be, whether it's just with our family and our work, our local neighborhood, even in our homes, and let the Lord use us and plant the seed and water the seed, even if others have planted it and watered it as well, to grow and do miraculous miracles now and in the days ahead as we grow, grow from strength to strength and glory to glory there. And so with that, I want to dive into the news. I want to talk about a few things, give updates, and then go through the winding fallout again. There's more things that have come out of the Supreme Court ruling leak that I think the reason we want to go through them is to really check our emotions, because we can get off here and there. Things can easily distract us and get us misfocused on what the Lord wants to do in this season. But first, we want to acknowledge the celebration of the 74th year of Israel's independence after they won the Six-Day War, fighting for their freedom against all odds, nations coming against them. And it's a great, great even sign of a miracle of that even happening, of the victory from the tiny, tiny militia forces of the what was then the Israeli army. And now it has grown into the nation that is today, fighting for its life every single day. So we celebrate that today as well. My dad's podcast was about that today. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. But then some new updates out of Ukraine and Russia are that there have been some more explosions in and around Belgorod, Russia, a region near the Ukrainian border, where bombings and fires have gone off, military explosions and military fuel depots, ammunition stores. So some things are happening in there. Ukraine is fighting back. The mayor of the city came out and said, oh, there's nothing to be, or the governor of the city came out and said, oh, there's nothing to be worried about. These are just random things happening. This is not involved in the war. There's troops on the ground. There's troops in the air. There's troops everywhere. Oh, this is part of a special military operation, quote unquote, i.e. the war. Denying it, holding it under wraps to control the fears of the people, because people are starting to say, hey, this is starting to leak over into Russia now, because Ukrainian forces are being going on the aggressive and taking territory and fighting back. Now, the main thing issue is that we, our friends in Lviv, were telling us yesterday during noon prayer that sirens were going off, air raid sirens, for people to seek shelter. And this wasn't happening just in Lviv. This is happening in other regions, other cities. And what's happening is the Russians are bombing transportation lines, logistic lines, trains, roads, any major bridges, trying to prevent resources, ammunition, humanitarian aid, even as people leave Mariupol and other cities where they're being attacked to try to get to some form of safety and resources in. The Russians are attacking those strategic points. And this is what happens in wars. This is how you win wars. This is how U.S. won and the Allies won World War II. is they're trying to ultimately prevent the West, NATO, UN, America, Germany, from the weapons they're sending to Ukraine from being able to be used, get to the troops in Ukraine, make it harder for them. So there's a contingent point here in the natural that our leaders need to be aware of, that things are starting to heighten. Chuck Pierce talks about this could go on for 3 years. We believe that as well. We have some prophetic on that, that this war could go on, these type of situations could go on. So this will be very, in the long run, very strategic if they're able to actually hit them. Some of the strikes in the Dnipro region have hit railroad facilities. Nobody's been hurt as of yet. The authorities, Ukrainian railway authorities, are saying. So we want to continue to be aware, be sober-minded about what's happening, involve that, and obviously with Israel continuing to celebrate its national sovereignty and its destiny for its own nation. And they have their own battles. Look, they're not perfect, just as we're not perfect. But we want to continue to pray for our administration as issues and negotiations arise with Ukraine, Russia, Iran, Israel, and China. Pray that they have the wisdom and the fear of the Lord to listen to the Holy Spirit when dealing with all these countries and these scenarios. I don't want to clump all that in together because there's a lot going on. You can dive in if you understand the specific issues. Please do dive in and praying for what the Lord has put on your heart. And if there's anything I'm missing, please let me know. Put it in the comment sections so we can stay up to date. There's a lot of news out there about what's going on now. So in some not so unexpected news, been talking about it here last couple weeks, is that the Federal Reserve has now said they will increase interest rates a half a percentage point. And then now, rather than only do it by half a percentage point, which was their plan before, they're looking at now raising rates between 0.75% to a full percent, sometime between this year, to ultimately as much as 2.5% by the end of the year overall. And obviously that's in the hopes of them potentially pulling down inflation with this. And because inflation is out of control, there are estimates from economists, which I kind of agree with, understanding the reality of the situation, is that inflation is only going to continue to grow higher as energy costs get higher, supply chain issues with the war in Ukraine and issues with China shutting down their ports that send out a lot of computer chips, things that unfortunately, due to technology, we depend upon very heavily. Obviously, with the war in Ukraine, wheat, grain, other sources of foods being stranglehold in those countries and not being planted, harvested, and then sold at market, you're going to have a potential surge. And this is due to the raising, surging inflation is due to the controlled try or hand of God, hand of man trying to control the markets. And what's good about this is not just interest rates are climbing, and the good is that it's happening to try to get things down because it's been low for too long. It was low when Bush was in office. It was low when Obama was in office, even though they kind of raised it under Bush and Obama a little bit. It needed to go higher to control this from happening. But also is the Fed is talking about basically paying down debt, to shrink its asset holdings, to make sure that they don't have too much debt on the books as they raise inflation, and making sure that, you know, they're not caught with their pants down. And really they are already caught with their pants down in a metaphorical sense. So unexpected news. And I point this story out because we need to be aware about what's going to come economically down the road. And if you're making certain decisions now, know that down the road, things are going to become more expensive. Your dollar will be less, worth less a year from now than it is right now as prices continue to climb. So we need to be aware of that. And these decisions will ultimately affect that moving forward. Okay, now I want to get to some issues that the president himself has, things he has said, things you need to be aware of, and really, this is why we're here to pray for the office of the president. Is President Biden yesterday in a speech talked about how, you know, the MAGA crowd is the most extreme political organization that's existed in American history, and that because of states, i.e. Florida, making laws, putting laws on the books about protecting children from groomers, we'll just be blunt about that, that now they're eventually going to want to, the overturning of Roe v. Wade is eventually going to lead to segregation of LGBTQ kids within the classroom, which nowhere is anybody even considering doing that, of segregation of that type of magnitude. And Peter Ducey again asked a blunt question, and he simply just asked, what does he mean? What is he talking about? Where is he seeing this? And Jen Psaki's answer is just basically, well, this is what we think will happen. But that's not going to happen. Nobody's asking for that. Nobody's talking about that. You're the only ones talking about that. And so the reason I point that out is because we just want to continue to pray for the president to, and the leaders around him, to step up, who have the fear of the Lord, if any of them do, and give him some sound wisdom in this season, and to hopefully drown out, as we would for any president, drown out the just the weird and crazy that is around him right now. Obviously, like, we understand that there are those who are using the president right now. You know, Tulsi Gabbard says Obama's one pulling the string. Maybe, maybe not. We do know the people around him, the current president, are Obama's people. So could be having some hand in that. And this is leading to a more of a divide. And her answer was, well, we don't want to cause a divide. We don't want to see a divide in this country. But the things you're saying are a divide. And he also came out and said, well, this is going to take away from gay marriage rights, and other potential rights are at risk if the Supreme Court goes down this path. And Reuters points it out, and I'll put the link here up, of talking about how this is what Obama says, this is what some, those on the left, those on the right even think. And because of how, what Justice Alito was saying, is that how same-sex marriage came into existence, how other rights came into existence, is not because of legislative bills that were passed, which is how, you know, these quote unquote protected rights are, even if they are protected, are supposed to come about. And Biden's answer the other day of how, you know, we talk about, we have to protect the God-given rights. Okay, that's very clear. I can get behind that. But the issue here is they're fearful of what could potentially come of taking back the definition of man versus woman, of what marriage actually is. Marriage between two people of the same gender is not marriage. It is a union. It is a partnership, but it is not marriage. Marriage is defined as a man between a woman. And so they're fearful of this. And Biden has been saying this in hopes to stoke fear for people coming into the midterms about what could potentially be coming down the line, cause a divide within the Republican Party, because the Republican Party has been very open to the same-sex marriage idea. The big line you'll hear from certain people, and this will upset some people, is that, well, that's an issue that's dealt with. We're not going to talk about that. When no, it is an issue that's not dealt with, and we need to talk about it. We need to deal with this, and we need to understand this. And so we're seeing here the fears of the left being brought forward, and they're legitimate, because there are even some people within the GOP, conservatives, who understand that how Justice Alito wrote this opinion of saying, look, this has not gone through due process. The Supreme Court and the court should not be the ones passing law, should not be the ones creating quote-unquote rights. And that's very, very true. And so we with this all coming about, there's some good, there's some bad, and there's the ugly. The good is, so with this opinion coming out, the push to codify Roe v. Wade has come out. We talked about that a little bit. I wanted to touch this yesterday, but I didn't. Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema have come out and basically killed that idea by saying that we're not going to remove the filibuster, because the filibuster is the only way, removing the filibuster is the only way to get it codified into law right now. And they said no, which kills that idea, because now they have to get 60 votes. That was Bernie Sanders' idea. He wanted that. That's not happening at right now. And so we're seeing, like, this is a good. Now, the bad is there are leftist groups coming out. They have posted the addresses of the six justices who are in the draft voting for life, to harass them, to threaten them. And let's think about if people were to change their opinions based upon these threats that were made. Threats can continue to be made, and just the mob rule is the way laws, justices rule. It's happened in the past. It's the threats that have been made, like they did with Joe Manchin. They work on some people. It didn't work on Joe Manchin. It doesn't work on Kyrsten Sinema. Does it work on the Supreme Court justices? Kavanaugh has looked kind of like he's been fearful of this stuff, because the things that came after him during his nomination and his confirmation hearings were just appalling and horrendous towards him and his family. Amy Coney Barrett as well. Some of the things we've heard from them, the things they talked about Justice Clarence Thomas during his whole Supreme Court justice career, and the others as well. And so this is appalling. And so we've talked about, been praying about this. We want to continue to pray for the justices' safety, for their families, making sure that they're protected in the season and that they have peace in the amongst the storm on these decisions. And specifically, we want to pray for Justice Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh. And I think Ms. Beth put out yesterday, somebody had a dream about Roberts and Kavanaugh being on a balance beam. We had that dream a while back on this issue specifically, and praying that whichever way Kavanaugh goes, Roberts is following in behind that. Now, Roberts has a duty amongst himself to decide what he needs to do, but we want to pray for him to side on the rule of life, not only for the freedom of life, but for his eternity in standing for life or for death. Pray and hope and have faith that he would side with life there. But this is just utterly appalling that they would even consider doing this. This is tactics of the left. This is crazy. We really, really, again, need to pick up our prayers and pray for protection of them, because then it becomes rule by mob, and that is disastrous. Now, I want to say this. So I talked a little bit about it yesterday, about how I've been searching for, everybody's been saying, let's have the full extent of the law come out for this leaker. He needs to go to jail. He needs all this stuff to happen. But again, nobody's saying what law the person broke. And any lawyer that I've listened to, anybody who said anything, really the only thing that was happened is they broke ethical responsibility that they have as being involved in the Supreme Court. Maybe a contractual obligation that they signed to possibly, if I leak information, then maybe I lose my job. There is talk about, all lawyers are talking about, because of the ethics question, most likely be disbarred and never be able to be a lawyer again. Those on the right are happy. Those on the left are like, whatever, we don't care. That person will probably get another job. So I want to lay this out there, is let's not get our hopes behind, oh yeah, they're going to jail, they're doing all this stuff, because that's happening right now, is let's go after them. That's the same type of energy, you want to call it, that the left is putting out towards the Supreme Court justices. And we can pray, and we need to repent if we're asking for justice to come forward, repent for any sins in our life, anywhere where we need to be protected before we go to the courts of heaven and ask for justice, is repent and cover ourselves, number one, and come with the heart of the Father if we're asking for justice to come forward. And then as we pray to the Lord that the truth come out, that true justice does come forward. And if it doesn't happen in our lifetime, that eventually God will take care of it in eternity. And so I say that, and I want to play this clip. We posted it last night in the Facebook group. Justice Kennedy was asking, he wants the FBI to get involved. That's fine. I'm all for that. He thinks what will happen is the person who is the leaker will lie to the FBI, get them caught up, and then break a criminal law, similar to like what Michael Flynn did of lying to the FBI. And then that's how they'll get him. Again, at the end of the day, most likely be pardoned by Biden. So that's why I say let's not get our hopes caught up in that. But I want to play this because there are law professors who were asked the question of what do they think this means, not only for the Supreme Court and the security of that, but what do they think of the overall decision that was made to leak it, and what are the problems with this and why this? And there's a wide spectrum of answers, but I want to go through, and we need to listen to this because there are some things that are brought up at the end by one gentleman that I think are very, very key, and something that I think is being exposed through this situation that needs to be dealt with. And maybe there now needs to be something put in place to prevent leaks like this from ever happening again. So I'm going to play it on a little bit faster speed because I want to play 2 minutes of this clip.
What do you think will be the impact on the United States Supreme Court and people's respect for it as a result of this leak about the draft opinion?
You know, it's an empirical question. I really couldn't say. The substance of the leak, which shows that the court is going against the majority of the country.
Which, that's not true. Again, she said, it's empirical. It depends on who you're asking.
Is much more damaging to the legitimacy than the leak itself.
That's not true. That is not true. And she's one of the only ones who deals with this. There are others who deal with the exact issue, but obviously I think you can tell where this person lies.
Thank you, Professor.
Again, a professor.
Well, the leak last night is obviously outrageous and should be taken very seriously, but I have a lot of confidence in the court and the American public. And I think that the Supreme Court is going to rise above the circumstance and, as it's done for decades, apply the rule of law and issue a decision that I believe reflects the constitutional principles in the Dobbs case and all others and trust.
And this is another professor who is being objective, understanding that the leak is very disastrous to the Supreme Court and the integrity of it moving forward, and wants the rule of law to be put in place.
The Chief Justice and the court will be able to resolve and issue an honest opinion quickly.
Okay. I think the leak was unethical, but I do not think it will damage the court.
Okay, she thinks it's unethical, but will not damage the court.
And I think far more damaging to the court was the failure to fill a seat for nearly a year.
Okay, and obviously you could see who this professor was.
Nominee by then.
Again, these are professors of law.
President Obama was
teaching lawyers.
Okay. Professor, you're a professor too.
Thank you. I think the leak was seismic, devastating, and heartbreaking. It should go without saying that the Supreme Court can fulfill its Article III responsibility if drafts of opinions are leaked and circulated for what appear to be political purposes. That said, I do think the Supreme Court is fully capable of keeping its eye on the ball and deciding this case ultimately through a final official published opinion in the way that the law and the Constitution command.
And that's the issue, is does this affect the final outcome? There are those calling for the opinion to be brought forward. That's very true. But at the end of the day, is people calling, let's go send him to jail. What law? What law did he break? Kennedy, if you go watch the earlier part of the video, he has to swallow that hard pill and realize there's really no law that really did break. Maybe civil, somebody could sue him, whatever the case may be.
The leak was highly inappropriate. And it also,
this is the answer. This is the gentleman I want us to listen to. Sorry I was talking, but listen to this gentleman next, this professor. I think he is very poignant. He is very direct in dealing with this leak and why it is so disastrous and harmful for the future of the Supreme Court.
I think the leak was highly inappropriate, and it also raises the question of what are the specific rules that apply to the officials and the employees in Supreme Court, because it's not clear about the duty of confidentiality as opposed to the duty of confidentiality following the other clerks across the lower courts.
That is exactly true. There's no clear cut answer, and everybody's saying this is going to happen. This is it. But what is it? It's very unclear. And so I point this out because we need to be really careful about where we put our hope in. Are we putting our hope in, these criminal investigations for the FBI, the DOJ? What are we putting our hope in? Look, If the Lord said corruption is going to be unveiled this month and in the coming months, okay, let's pray that the truth come out. Let's pray that our hearts are clean, that we repented, we're in the right standing before the Lord as God is looking. If right now he's talking about, he's looking to bring, to have justice come on the earth. That's what he's looking for. And if we have a sin in our life that the enemy can accuse us with, then we're not exempt from the justice that will be brought forward. So I say that and making sure we're in right alignment with the Lord, what the Lord would want in this season, because there's this article from an opinion post from the Washington Post. We've talked about this before, about how the GOP roars about abortion, then they abandon the children that are now alive because of pro-life bills. And this is very true. Is the church, the people have abandoned the widow and orphan at times in the past. This has been a failure. People have acknowledged this. So we want to, in this instance, repent for abandoning the widow and orphan and intercede for where and how to get involved with helping support the widow and the orphan. Is it adopted? Is it supporting your local care pregnancy centers? Is it supporting your local food banks? What does that mean in your area? What does that mean in your life? What is the Lord calling you to do in these issues? Because as we come out of this, if let's say Roe is overturned, what does this now mean for us? There's going to be more babies. If people are having sex outside of marriage and people are having these babies in your states where life is protected and women, they're going to, unfortunately, going through hardships, they're going to need help, support, a community around them to help raise this child. If the father is not in the life of the child. And so we have a duty here as Christians to stand up and support the widow and the orphan as well. And we do that at Christian Center, with supporting our local care pregnancy center. We help give to them. We help a lot of our women actually involved there in some of the classes and helping educate these mothers and daycare and things like that nature, diapers, food, baby supplies, things of that nature that we give to as well. And then on a good note, I want to end on a victory note, is that Louisiana has put forward a bill. It's called the Abolition of Abortion in Louisiana Act. And it's meant to basically say, look, a pre-born baby should have the same rights as a born baby, in that if they're murdered in the womb, then it's the same as being murdered out of the womb. And it's a clear-cut fine. There are no exemptions. There's no nothing. This is pretty straightforward, easy cut. And we have to ask ourselves is, ooh, you know, everybody wants to put in there politically, in case of rape, incest, and yada, 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 life of the mother. In America, the medical technology is advanced to be able to protect the mother if there is an issue, a rise of concerns. There's that. But the whole ultimate that State Rep Danny McCormick acknowledged, he said, the sanctity of an innocent human life created in the image of God, which should be equally protected from fertilization to natural death. And the bill ensures the right of life and equal protection of the laws to all unborn children for the amount of fertilization by protecting them by the same laws protecting other human beings. And I mean, that's a very strong bill. Now it has to go forward. It's out of committee. It was approved 7-2. It's going to go to the floor. Where do people stand? People in Louisiana are really going to know where their constituents stand on this issue. Are you going to waffle? Are you going to give it out because you want an exemption? Whatever the case may be. I think this is a very, very positive thing for life in protecting every preborn baby. And very interesting in seeing where people preside on that. So with that, I'll close today. I know it was a lot. We went through the winding road of everything, but in reality, as we're in this season, expecting the unexpected, putting our trust and our hope in the Lord, and knowing that if it's not dealt in our time, if we're not able to to have the truth be brought to light, and then ultimately that the Lord will be able to deal with it in time and in eternity. And that's where our hope needs to be, that no matter if it's if justice is brought forward now or in eternity, that the Lord is in control, and that we need to really not try to control things in our mind and build up pressure and stress and anxiety in our lives and thinking that we have it all under control. In reality, God does. So with that, I bless each and every one of you. Hope you have a great day. Again, reminder, Israel's Independence Day, and today is a national day of prayer. Dutch talks about that. So I will be back tomorrow to close out the week, and I will see you guys later. Have a good one.